I pray the Lord, I bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Brother Kimani, once again, from Kenya, we are going to continue the way we stopped yesterday. And I want us to read the book of Kings. First Kings 16, verse 31. It came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. You see, I just want to talk about God keeping his word. And remember, we ended up almost the same with the question, who has believed our report? Now, God had warned Israelites against intermarrying with the foreigners. But the Bible says here that, Omri was very evil. And his son, Ahab, when he took over, took it even more lightly, despite the warnings that had come their way. And he says, the Bible speaks of as if it had been a light thing for him to walk the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. He took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and went and served Baal, and they worshipped him. Now, the Israelites had ignored the word. They had ignored the oracles that had been given to follow, and it suited to have their own way, the extent that they had raised their own prophets. If you go to the book of 20, now this is Ahab, and after he married Jezebel, where they felt that Ahab felt that Ramoth Gilead belonged to them, and they wanted to go and capture it. And he assumed that all things were working well and were going to work well, regardless of whether he had obeyed the commandments of God or not. And this day, Jehoshaphat comes to visit him, and Ahab tells him that I ask him to join him in hands to fight for Ramoth Gilead. An assumption that he made, because despite his sinful nature and attitude, he had prospered and things were working out well for him. He had I don't know whether I could say that he had prophets. He had perverted the gospel and raised his denominations that looked that were prosperous, that covered the whole of the land, and whatever they prophesied, or they prophesied in favor of the king and his queen, and what the king wanted is what they did, what the king said, what the king desired is what they prophesied about. And we look well, the anointing that was not right. But when they were to go and fight over Ramoth Gilead, as most of you can read the book of Kings 22, it not augured very well with the Jehoshaphat when he had the prophecies that came from the 400 prophets. And therefore, he desired to have another person who was of a different identity, who could maybe bring out something that's great, to be tested as well. And you see, It reaches a time in life when reality had to strike, like I was saying yesterday, that we are in a day when the word of God has to be spoken clearly and without compromise, where white has to be white and black has to be black. And this time, it looked like surely everything was good because the prophets had prophesied, and they had even given signs and indications that Ahab was a good God's chosen king, and the one who was going to reign, and Ramoth Gilead was a portion, the prophecy that had come out of men who had taken field lacquer. And we are actually in the same conditions, my brethren and brothers, where people have tend to think that God will come down and forget about his standards, his holiness, his word. Let's be forewarned that God keeps his word. When Ahab married Jezebel, he thought things would always be well. And that's why he had the audacity, even this extent, just to throw open, put aside the man of God, the prophet of God, Micaiah, and never cared about what he said, whether it was of God or not. And because it never favored him, he could not be, it could not be considered to be of any importance. And this day when Jehoshaphat says, "Let us try somebody else," he was not surely ready for that. Amen. And even today, brothers, the world, the denominational world, the message world is not ready for this truth. But there's a Micaiah somewhere, I believe, who would stand for truth and speak the truth as it is. And God can stand behind nothing but the truth. And that's why when Micaiah came, they had to sort of persuade him, tell him to do what the king will be up about. And please, you see, all the rest have prophesied, and the king is happy, and let's speak well of our king, But Micaiah says he would only speak that which God would give him. And that's exactly what he said. It never changed. God kept his word. Micaiah. That which looked unpopular, that which looked foolish, like Corinthians, Paul speaking in the book of Corinthians, is what Micaiah gave out. We can look at the book of Corinthians, 1, 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians, see, it was the gospel that Micaiah carried was not acceptable to the denominational world. It was not acceptable to the men of his day. And even today, the gospel we are carrying, the children of God are carrying, is not acceptable to the men of today. Amen. Now, Paul says here in the first book of 1 Corinthians 1, from verse 18, "The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God." Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, the gospel, this that is unpopular, that is unfamous to the world, the intellectuals of this world. Bible says to them that perish, it's foolishness. And therefore we know that those who are not agreeing with the scriptures, not agreeing with the word of God, with this truth that's biblically oriented, is foolishness them, and they are on their way to damnation. And that's why he says, to them it's foolishness, yes, but unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. Hallelujah. To us, this gospel is the power of God, because we have the witness, we have the experience. And it says, for it is written, I'll destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. That's exactly what we had yesterday. Jesus Christ, the book of Matthew 11, says what? You have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, and have revealed even them that look like babies. Amen. You know, because to the world today, the kind of gospel that is pleasing and is satisfying is the one that is full of worldliness, from glamour, full of attraction. But as it did in the days of old, where God appeared in simplicity, where Christ came in a way that was not agreeable with the ecclesiasticals of his days. He says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the dispute of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Amen. God has made foolish the wisdom of this world. What people call wisdom, to God is foolishness. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. And you'll agree with me, my brothers and sisters, that why even the word of God has become of none effect is because of the traditions of men, the intellectualism of men that man has raised in this day and time we are closing in. It is exactly the intellectualism, the reasonings, that made the 10 men, the 10 spies would be sent by Moses to go and spy the land, you know, for them to look, to reason over the circumstances, over the conditions that were there. But God never talked about that. He was talking about his word, the promise he had given to their father Abraham, that he would give him the land. And the foolishness that Abraham believed God with is the same foolishness that it was expected that the Israelites to believe, is the same foolishness we expected to believe God with. Amen. Because in the days of Abraham, Abraham believed God and looked so foolish at the age of 675 or whatever age he was in, even at 100, he still held on that God was going to come and bless him and fulfill the promise. But I'll tell you something. It is the same foolishness that God expected the Israelites to believe God on, not to reason, not to the circumstances and situations that are prevailing. And the same foolishness that even God is expecting us to believe him today. Amen. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Oh my, exactly. Greeks, Gentiles, they seek wisdom. And so we have books and books and books and books, people writing, which is okay, as long as you're writing, read by the God, by the Spirit of the Lord, well and good. But go to the libraries, go to bookshops, go to every of these places. Books are written and written. And people are, you know, are being gauged by how well, how eloquent, how convincing they can be, how much wisdom they have over the claim they have. And exactly that's what's taking the world into destruction. They have failed to see God by their wisdom. Today, why even the message world has become a problem is because, you know, we are looking so much at how much one is conversant with the message of William Branham, how well you can explain it, how well you can tell it, how well you can expound it. But God's not looking at that. God is looking at the manifestation of the word in our lives. I was speaking to some people to our church, and I told them that the word is interested, sorry, so much on how many books you've read, how many books you're writing, which is okay. I'm not against the books, please, brothers and sisters. But the world wants to see how much of Christ is in you. That's what Paul says here. The Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, and the Jews a stumbling block, and under the Greeks foolishness. Hey, we preach Christ crucified. They want to see that power of Christ was crucified. They want the outcome of him, if he's in you, if he's in me, that's what is required. He says what? But on them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and wisdom of God. That's what we need. Christ and his life in us. Amen. Oh, I love that. Praise Jesus. Christ crucified. Christ crucified. Thank you, Brother JP. That the same Jesus whom you crucified has God made to be both Lord and Christ. When we're saying that, there was a manifestation, there was an outcome of that crucifixion that the world could see in the days of the apostles. And that's exactly what we need today. That Christ, whom God has made both Lord and Christ, is the one that we need to see him today. That's the one that the world wants to see. That's what is making the church of God. That's what's making the bride of Christ, I mean. That's what it says, you see. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Oh my. You know, the foolishness of God that the world is calling with foolishness is what in God is wisdom and is weakness. Now hear this. Is where we draw strength. He says here, for you see your calling, brethren. You see your calling, brethren, that not many wise men after the flesh, after the flesh. But we have men who are wise in the spirit. But after the flesh, they may not look wise. They may not be eloquent. As Paul one time said, I'm crude in speech. But in knowledge, it's not so. He says, for see your calling, brethren, not how that more not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Exactly. Oh, praise Jesus. Not many are mighty, not many are wise, not many are noble. But the Bible says what? But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Praise the Lord. God, even today, still keeps his word. Things that are not proof in the eyes of man. Things that are foolish. That's what God has chosen to confound the wisdom of this world. The weak things. Then wise men, the intellectual men are the ones God has chosen to use. And base things of the world and things which are despised has God chosen, yeah, things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Praise the Lord. I love that. The God has done that. So that no flesh can glory in the presence of God. That's why what we look at and think that's where God is, most of the time, is not where he is. Do But he is where most of us think he's not. Thank God that he's opened the eyes of the weak, those who are despised, those who are neglected, those who are rejected, those who are not noble, those who are not mighty, that God has opened their mind to receive the wisdom. And to us, amen, whom God has given the grace to receive this wisdom, it is the power of God unto salvation. And we can't get it in any other way, but only that way. But it says here, verse 30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Amen. That according as is written, he that glory, let him glory in the Lord. Amen. When Caleb and Joshua stood and said, God is giving us the land, and the rest rejected and refused, still it remained. They were 2 against 10. Micah was 1 against 400. But God still kept his word. And today, he may be 1 against 1 billion, but God will still keep his word. God bless you, brethren. Have a good day. Amen.